My name is Chewe Kambole, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to be given to speak to us this evening. It's always a privilege to stand before God's people and proclaim God's word. I'm humbled at this opportunity given to me by the elders here at Kawata Baptist Church. And I'm also grateful for those of you that knew I was going to speak this evening and prayed for me. The last two Sundays, we have been going through Romans chapter 15, the latter part of Romans chapter 15. Pastor Mbele has been speaking to us on various themes with regards to the church. One of the two themes that we have was when a church is truly healthy, as well as healthy churches still need preachers. And so the themes have been centered around the church. This evening, we're going to look at another aspect that pertains to the life of the church, as well as every believer. And this is the aspect of giving. And it's actually supposed to be the discipline of giving. And so giving is very much part and parcel of the life of the local church. When we look at the church in Acts and chapter 4, beginning at verse 32, going down to verse 35, we see an example of how the church gave. The church gave to those who are in need, and we are told that they lacked nothing. And also in 2 Corinthians, later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, the Apostle Paul talks about giving. And we see many other evidences that show that giving is very much part of the local church and every believer. Jesus also taught on the subject of giving in Matthew and chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4, which is our text of consideration this afternoon. Shall we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4? Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. I commence reading. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by them. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus has been preaching a number of messages to the multitude, starting at chapter 5, and he's been speaking on a number of topics. And so when he eventually gets to chapter 6, in chapter 6, he begins to talk about hypocrisy. In the first 18 verses, he talks about three main forms of piety. These are prayer, giving, and fasting. These were things not to be done to display self-righteousness, but they were supposed to be done as an act of worship to God. In the first four verses, Jesus outlines the characteristics of giving. He shows the people that there are various things that constituted what giving is. And these are what we shall endeavor to look at this afternoon, the characteristics of giving. Every Christian must know what Christ brings out with concerning the characteristics of giving as sin has brought out for us in our text this afternoon. And so the first characteristic of giving that we see is the essence of giving. Shall we read verses 1a again? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. Righteousness here is rendered differently depending on what version of the Bible you are using. Some versions render it as good deeds, others render it as charitable deeds. But the main idea, or when it is translated from the original, the meaning of that word simply means righteousness. Jesus is introducing the idea that giving is an act of righteousness. When we think of the word righteousness, what immediately comes to our minds is our teachings with regards to the doctrine of justification, how God imputes this righteousness on us when we become saved. But in the sayings of Jesus, we find that righteousness depicts about four things. The first thing is that whatever is right or just in and of itself, whatever conforms to the revealed will of God, and this is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 6, verses 10, and verses 20, as well as John chapter 16, verses 8 and 10. And then the second thing is that whatever has been appointed by God to be acknowledged and obeyed by man, and this is from Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, and chapter 21, and verse 32. The third thing is the sum total of the requirements of God, which is in our text at the end in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 33. And the last thing that righteousness depicts is religious duties, as seen in the first 18 verses of chapter 6. And so a summary of the New Testament usage of the word righteousness is twofold. It basically has to do with teachings with regard to our salvation, as well as ethically correct human conduct. And so we see that this is the sense in which we are applying the word righteousness. It is being applied to the whole aspect and the whole idea of giving. Giving is no mere act. By virtue of us becoming Christians, when we receive Christ in our hearts, the Spirit of God comes into our lives. And then because of that righteousness, because of God's character, then we are then supposed to display this righteous character, and it comes out as in the form of giving. We are to bear fruit because of the work of the Spirit of God in us. And so this is the essence of giving. If we do not understand that giving is righteous, it is not just a mere act, then the rest of the characteristics will not appropriately apply them in our lives. We must appreciate this characteristic of giving. It is no wonder that in our day to day, the whole idea of giving has been abused by many a preacher, and so we can safely say that there is no understanding that giving is an act of righteousness. And so we must have this high view of giving. And it should challenge us even when we go about our Christian lives, when we think of our church life, when we think of helping out those who are in need. Do we think of it as simply just doing a good deed, or do we actually think of it as this is a righteous act? This is something that is in conformity to the character of God. This is what we must have in mind, the essence of giving. And so this is the first characteristic that we observe when it comes to the whole discipline of giving. The second characteristic that we observe is that of the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. And we will read verse 2. The attitude of giving, and this is in verse 2. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. The historical background to this verse is that the religious leaders and the chief priests would go out into the streets, and they would sound a trumpet so that those who were in need would come to them, and they would offer some form of compassion or some form of help to them. And so charity was perceived as a form of getting and gaining popularity amongst the people. And so we noticed that this is the lifestyle that the church the This is the lifestyle that the religious leaders had, the chief priests. The word hypocrite denotes someone who pretends to be somebody they are not. The origin of this word is in the Greek theaters, when the actors would put on masks and then they would be playing a role. And so that is, so it denotes someone who is pretentious, someone who pretends to be somebody they are not. In the writings of the New Testament, we notice that the word hypocrite is used to denote someone who has an unregenerate heart, someone who has not been saved. When we look at the word synagogue, it does not only denote a place of worship like this one in which we're in today, but mainly a public place, a place where someone can see what you are doing in the streets or anywhere where you would draw attention to yourself. It is debated whether the chief priests and the religious leaders would actually sound an actual trumpet, or it is to be understood metaphorically. But nonetheless, the point is that the religious leaders did these acts of good deeds to people to be seen by them. They commanded some form of attention to themselves when they did these good deeds. And so what do we learn from this? We learn what not to do when we go out to give, when we want to offer help to those who are in need. We are not to call attention to ourselves. The essential attitude that we should have is that of love. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 3. Shall we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. We know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the chapter of love, and it talks about how love, without love, will not be able to love our neighbor. And it is because of God's great love. God sets the ultimate example for us in terms of giving. He gave his only begotten Son because he loved the world. For God so loved the world, John 3 verse 16 would tell us. The two greatest commandments that we are told are all about love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. When we give, we should give with an attitude of love, not with an attitude that is self-seeking. An attitude that seeks out to draw attention to us, an attitude that would want to make us stand out and look like we give. There are a lot of organizations around us which do this simply because they want to be known that they give, and that they give abundantly, so to speak. We learn that this self-seeking attitude only shows the state of our hearts. As we will see in the next characteristic, this is giving is primarily between us and God. Giving is more than just doing good deeds and showing compassion or acts of mercy. When we give, it is out of our love for God and out of our love for our neighbor. Because we love God and because we've seen the need of our neighbor, with regard, it can be any situation or circumstance, because we've seen a need and because we love our neighbor, then we will help our neighbor. And so this attitude cannot be overemphasized. The attitude of love is essential. And when we go about our daily lives, and when a friend of ours asks for our help, when we respond to them, is it with an attitude of love, or is it with an attitude of, "Oh, let me just help you to get this over and done with"? We must love. We must love our neighbor because then it reflects the state of our heart. Not only do we see the essence of giving, and not only do we see the attitude of giving, but we also see the focus of giving. And this is in verse 3 to the first part of verse 4. Verses 3 to the first part of verse 4. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Jesus begins verse 4, by giving an emphatic illustration, so to speak. Your left hand must not know what your right hand is doing. This was simply to emphasize that giving must be in secret. The word secret is mentioned two other times with regard to fasting and as well as with regard to prayer in the text between verses 1 and verse 18 of chapter 6. The giving should be so secret that the giver readily forgets what he gave. In this way, he demonstrates true righteousness before God and not before people. So God, in turn, will reward him. And we will look at the reward of giving later. Giving is something that takes place between the individual and God. We give back to God because of what he has done in our lives and because of the blessings that he has given to us. And an example that we can look at is that of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We see that she was not able to have children, and she cried out to God, and she constantly cried out to him, and eventually God blessed her with a child. And let's read her response in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. After she is given a child, she responds by saying, and she makes a vow to the Lord, saying, making a vow, she pleaded, "Lord of hosts, if you take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut." And so we see that she says to God, "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you." And so she acknowledges that God is the giver of gifts. God is the giver of everything that we have. And in turn, we are to give back to God that which he has given us. And so the whole idea of giving being done in secret is so that we focus all our attention on this God. Yes, we give gifts to people. We give money, we give material things, but essentially we are giving back to God. A contrast to this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. The well-known story of this couple who sold land, and then they, instead of giving back what they had purposed to give, they decided to keep some of it. And we know that the result of that was that they both died. First, the husband dies, and then the wife dies. And so we see that greed overtook them, and which led to their demise. This only shows us that God sees everything. And so when we look at these two stories, the story of Hannah and the story of this couple, we see that Hannah came to God. She was open before God. She cried out to God. But this other couple they thought they could hide what they were doing, and they thought they could keep part of what they had purposed to give to God, which just shows us that this whole idea of giving is between the Christian and God. God sees everything. God sees the motive of our hearts. Authenticity is found in our closet. Jeremiah, shall we read Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10, which amplifies this point for us? Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. It says, I, Yahweh, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. And so from this verse, in as much as it is talking about a reward, but the first part of this verse talks about how God sees what's in our hearts. And so giving requires a person to give their full attention to God when they are giving. It doesn't matter whether it is giving tithe or helping out someone in need. The attention at that particular moment must be to God. And so this is the third characteristic of giving that we see. It is the focus. It is that our focus must be on God and nobody else when we give. The fourth characteristic that we see is that of the reward of giving. And this is in verse 1b as well as verse 4b. I'll read verses 1 and verses 4 in their entirety. Be careful, verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 4, I'll begin at verse 3. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There is the surety of giving. There is the surety of a reward when we give. And we notice that this reward actually comes to both those who have an ill motive, those who give because of self-righteousness or because of selfish reasons, as well as those who give out of love. And so to both kinds of persons, there is actually a reward that is given. The word reward is actually translated as recompense, which basically means which gives the idea that you are going to be given back that which you deserve for what you have done. And so what exactly is this reward? What rewards are going to be given to both kinds of persons? Firstly, we know that there are two different kinds of rewards. The first reward that goes to the person of ill motive is that the reward is the praise of men. The phrase in verse 2 actually is rendered in the present. They are fully receiving their reward, which actually means that all the praise that those who give out of an ill motive will get, that is actually what their reward is and nothing else. God owes them nothing because what they have given is because of their selfish motive. But those who give with a right motive, their reward will not come from men, but it will come from God. Now there's speculation about what this reward will be, whether it is God himself being their reward, or whether it is having a good conscience and an increase in holiness. But what we do know is that the reward is definitely going to be a present blessing from God, and it is going to be a heavenly reward. The reward will be in heaven. Luke chapter 14 and verse 14 gives us an idea of what this reward is. Luke and chapter 14 and verse 14. I'll start at verse 12. He also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame or blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This verse basically gives us the, or implies that the reward that will be given will be at the day of judgment. Really, it will be the day, it will be when we'll be ushered into heaven. Our reward is going to be a heavenly reward. Inasmuch as giving is something that we do right now here on earth, the reward is it's a deposit in the banks of heaven, so to speak. And so when we give, our focus must not be on what reward we will receive per se, but it must be on giving because of our love for God and because of the need that our neighbor has. Yes, we do have a reward when we give. There is definitely a reward that is coming, but that's not the essence of giving. The essence, as we have already seen, is that it is a righteous act. It is because we are righteous. And because of that righteous act, we are assured of a reward. And so it challenges the way we think about the opportunities we ultimately find ourselves having to give to those who are in need, or to other people, or to our neighbors. We usually expect something in return when we give to those who are in need. I think back to times when I haven't lived long. I'm still a young man, but I remember vividly a time when your car would break down on the street, and people would come and help you push it to the side of the road or push it to somewhere where it's going, and no one would ask for anything. No one would ask for money. No one would ask for anything. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. But these days, it seems that there is always the expectation, if I'm going to do this for you, what are you going to give me? But that's not the attitude we should have. We should not be reward-focused when we give. But also, it challenges us to have heaven in mind and actually believe that heaven is real. When we give, do we have this idea that we are depositing in the banks of heaven when we give? What is our thinking when it comes to heaven? Is it just some idea? Or is it just something that we read about? Or do we actually believe that heaven exists? Giving is closely tied to our heavenly home and the rewards in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 says we should... our treasures must be banked in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy. And so Jesus challenges the people to have this high view that giving is not just a mere act. It involves heaven. It involves a reward that is in heaven for us. And so we have looked at the four characteristics of giving that the Lord Jesus was communicating to the multitudes. The first characteristic that we looked at was the essence of giving, that it is a righteous act. The second characteristic that we looked at was the attitude of giving, that we must give with an attitude of love. The third characteristic that we looked at was that our focus of giving must be on God and not just for the sake of giving. And the last characteristic that we have looked at today is the reward of giving. The reward being that our reward is in heaven, and it should make us look forward to get into heaven, and it must make us look forward to helping out those who are in need, because we're doing that which is righteous. Like the example of the church in Acts and the church in Corinth, we do not need much to give. As I was thinking about this, I thought to myself, as long as you have if you're a Christian and you have a smartphone, you can give. But then I realized not all Christians have smartphones. But that doesn't defeat the purpose to say that every Christian can give. It doesn't matter whether you have less or little, but as long as we have that attitude to give, and because of these examples that we have seen in Christian of the early church, especially the church in Acts, we can give. We are stewards of what God has given us, and He has placed us in the places that we're at in order to be a blessing to others. The greatest example of giving that we have is that of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us in order that we might receive salvation. And we are reconciled back to Him because of His death. Let us always remember Christ's example, even as we give, even as we go out the rest of our days, the rest of this coming week, and even as we sing our closing hymn, "I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransomed be and raised up from the dead." May we remember that giving is tied to the faith that we profess to have. It is not just some good idea. It is not just because it is good to help those or it is good to give, but it is because of a result. It is a result of what has happened, the internal change that has happened because Christ has saved us. And so, because Christ gave, we also should give. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the teaching on giving that our Lord Jesus Christ gave. We thank you, O Lord, that you have saved us to be givers. And we thank you for your example. We thank you that, Lord, you gave your only Son that we might be reconciled back to you, that we might receive salvation. And it's because of that example that we are to then give, because that is what is required of us as your people. And so even as we go out into this week, even as we live out the rest of our days, we ask, O Lord, that you help us to be giving people, to be giving Christians. We ask and pray for all these things in your name, with hearts full of thanksgiving and praise. Amen.